I was at a chapel years ago. It was in a college at the bottom of the rec room area. It was there that a number of youth groups from across the nation came in. We were there before God. And all of a sudden, it was as if the full presence of God just simply came on everyone there, like a blanket that just simply covered everyone. Everyone stayed silent for about an hour and a half. Prayers were whispered. People were weeping. Everybody had their heads bowed. It was revival. And it was the power of God that fell, was felt, and was so absolutely overwhelming that no one wanted to move or leave the room. Finally, somebody stood up and read the scripture verse, "Be still and know that I am God." It was then that it seemed as though the power of God, like a wave, like a blanket, fell again. We were literally overwhelmed. No one wanted to leave. Everybody stayed in prayer, in worship, and waiting for the next couple of hours. This went on night after night after night, and others were drawn. The magnetic presence, the missionary force of the presence and power of God manifest, it was absolutely incredible. Listen, I hope that you've been reading revivals. The stories of revivals where the power of God falls in such a way that groups of individuals, entire cities, sometimes a region, and even a nation can be gripped, moved by the overwhelming presence of God, bringing a liberating sense, a sense of God's holiness, of God's power, of God's greatness, of God's love. It's as if God physically embraces you. The power of God is so felt. Well, that's the Greek word dunamis. It is a reference to the felt, expressed, conscious presence, power of God. You can read about it also in the book of Acts, chapter 4. When they were praying and quoting scripture, the power of God fell, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. My dear friends, this is July the 13th. It's a Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to this voice, my name is Russ Dizdar. The website is shatterthedarkness.net. Welcome to all the friends. Listen, we are so grateful for Karen writing in and others writing in, the kindness of Marcia and others. We are, again, overwhelmed, and we are overwhelmed with the effect of ministry. We are glad that you are listening live and that thousands more do. We are glad that thousands upon thousands, to the point of tripling in these last number of weeks, the archives are being downloaded. That means whatever we're doing tonight, a week from now, even a month from now, others can download and listen. We are in the midst of a series, and it does deal with feelings. I know what it is to feel the power of God. I know what it was like the night that I left a party where drugs and alcohol and massively loud music was going on. I know what it was to be in the Buddhist temple, to be dabbling into dark stuff. And I know what it was to have an encounter with a man that seemed to emanate the presence of the living Christ. I was engaged. I was struck, convicted, convinced. That's the night that I got saved. And the night that I got saved, I knew that moment the living Christ came into my life. And there was presence. There was power. I can just tell you now, for 35 years, well, like Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. We know his presence. We know his power. We know his work. There is just nothing like the presence, the power of God. The drugs faded away. The alcohol faded away. All of the old just simply fell to the ground, faded and empty it was, replaced by reality. God, the living Christ. Well, 36 years later, the same living presence of God, the unceasing, unbroken, listen, let me tell you right now, The promise is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Remember Hebrews 13. Now, for all of you that know the presence and power of God like that, for any of you that have been in revivals where a collective sense of the presence and power of God fell, the sense of the manifested presence, you could read about that in Acts chapter 8, where a city, an entire city, was oppressed with dark presence, dark power. It was captivated. One believer goes in, expressing the power of the kingdom of God, preaching Christ. People got saved. People got healed. People got actually delivered, where demons went out screaming. The end of the story is that Samaria was filled with joy. The atmosphere of the city changed because of the presence that was manifest. In your city, what is it like? Is it the power of God, the love of God, the joy that comes from the living Christ? In your city, is it the overwhelming presence and power of God that involves His holiness, truth, it involves reality, it involves salvation, it involves, well, God's love? Or is it a dark, ominous presence? The title for the entire topic of this week, you can feel it in the air tonight, a darkness, well, that will soon, as never before, bite the world. Monday night, the ominous presence, we dealt with the radical evil. We're into Revelation chapter 13, so go ahead and read it and read it and read it and read it again and again and again. That's the best way to do it. Soak yourself into it. Think through it. Because there's interaction. You know, God is in the Word, coming through the Word. The Spirit of God speaks. He illuminates the Word of God to us. As you think and give time to God, always read it with the acknowledgement of His, well, unceasing, unbroken, living presence if you're a believer. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't know Christ and you're listening because, well, we talk about the themes of globalism and conspiracy, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here because we prayed for you to be here. We've asked God to send you here during this hour. Because more than anything else I have to say, I can tell you that Christ, Christ, Christ alone. God loves you. God knows you. God seeks you. Do you know the liberating, loving, powerful presence of the living Christ in your life? I'm not talking about the cheap imitation of the New Age spirits, finite spirits that try to masquerade as if it was divine light, God. But again, the cheap, finite, filled and packed with flaw spirituality that's being sold. Well, it never leads you to God. It never strikes you with the awe of God, the reality of God, the ability to know that you know that you know that you know God. Because it's a different spirit. You want to know God? Listen to the Spirit of God. Listen to the Spirit of God, the Grapha, the writings of Scripture, the Spirit of God. Get into the Gospel of John and read. Listen to the new friends in Russia and in many other countries of the world that are downloading the archives. We want to say welcome. In the name of the God of heaven, of the living Christ that loves you, that died for you just the same, you can receive Him into your life. Now, I open the show with this. There are two sides to the sense of felt spirituality, felt presence. There is a dark side. It is ominous. When that dark side gets near, whether it's a demonized individual, whether it's a house where demonic presence or satanic worship was going on, whether it's a city where covens are unleashing demonic presence and power, where there's a territorial being over it. Let me tell you something right now, that in your city, you will either feel and sense the liberating presence and power of God, or you may sense an ominous oppression, a darkness, a cloudiness. And that, my dear friends, is because of the ramping up in the last 60 years. And we haven't seen anything yet. You want to know what the darkness will feel like when the chaos breaks out, it will be as if you can feel the demons on your skin. It will be so thick, so broad, so wide. When Jesus talked about the end of days, not just demons in people with false doctrines seducing many, but the actual manifested presence. For all the Luciferians out there and those that recon this show, please, you can even write to us to acknowledge. It is true that covens across the United States, across Europe, they not only summon the demons for themselves and for their people and the coven and for other things, but also simply to release them into the air. They talk about a sense of spiritual superiority in the air, the presence felt in the air, the presence operative in the air. Well, listen, I can understand that. There is an entity behind the feeling. There is an entity behind the energy, the power, the presence that is sensed. Ephesians 2, the prince of the power of the eros, the air, the atmosphere. As we get closer and closer to the all hell breaking loose chaos that so many are talking about, you will find that the ramping up of that oppression will be almost like it's bulging at the seams and ready to burst. But when it does, there'll be a night and day difference between the felt presence of dark power manifested. Tonight, we're going to deal with connecting the dots a little bit out of the book of Daniel, but primarily looking at, again, the beast and the counterfeit system. Let me tell you what's in place. People talk about shadow government, shadow military, the regime that is behind world governments. Everybody wonders where all the money's being siphoned off to, how in the world political ideologies can change and become reckless and globalistic, how in the world things are moving in that direction. Don't forget, dear believer in Christ, that the battle is not flesh and blood ideologies on paper and just in the physical marketplace. The battle is a spiritual one. There are principalities and powers, very strong forces at work. If you've been listening the last 2 weeks, you've been listening to us talk about Revelation 12, now into chapter 13, where out of all of Scripture, there is this incredible revelation of the full force of demonic presence designated as the dragon, the huge or the enormous or the great, megas is the word. God's finally giving us a broader picture that all of what has been worked for, all of what has been developed in the dark side, has now come down. Well, it's going to be here in the future. We're talking about future prophecy here. The dragon would stand, stood there at the side of the sea waiting. The dragon would stand there waiting for the Christ child to be born. Well, Revelation 12 and into Revelation 13, we find the dragon two times where it says he stood. In both cases, it's the kind of standing that is observing and ready to pounce, ready to act with the full, absolute full force of hell's presence and power. Well, at this moment in history, let's take a moment, go into a couple of the announcements, and then we will get into the full force of Revelation 13. The Antichrist presence and the system. Hey, let me ask you right now as you're thinking about this. The European Union. Is that it? Is that the globalists? Is that the power of... Listen, the United Nations, they can barely kill a fly. The European Union, no. Listen, what you see at the surface right now is not the coming new order, but it is out there, entrenched in multiple nations, multinational, it's entrenched. It cannot surface until the massive chaos levels everything, but a regime in waiting, which will be considered in fallen world history the most powerful, the most fierce, the quickest, devouring, loud, controlling, ferocious, political, military system. I believe it's out there waiting. It's there, but it hasn't ascended. We're going to read about that in Revelation 13. We're going to ask tonight whether you sense and detect that presence. Got an email from a friend yesterday about the Super Collider, and that now they're gonna say that they're gonna claim anyway that they have actually, they obtained the God particle. Now listen, this is very important. Because of the quest to find God, for some, it is always that idea of pulling God down and making God submit and wanting to kind of project on God what we think God is like. But now we're talking about the infinite, uncreated, indestructible, immortal. And without the blood of Christ, without the grace of God, the unapproachable. You've got to understand the concept of immeasurable and infinity, and that God is immaterial. And the world that we live in and the universe that we live in is the material structure. It's the material world. I'm amused that millions upon millions upon millions of dollars and hundreds upon hundreds of world-renowned scientists build a machine that is supposed to be able to somehow, through the smashing of particles, from the taking of the new particles in through the Atlas, and then being able to, declare that they have pulled the hand of God into their machine, clipped off the edge of his finger, and now they've got it under their microscope. Now they're able to take God and cut off a little piece, slice a little piece, and literally dissect and look at. Can you imagine, as big and as huge as the Super Collider, CERN, is, in comparison to the infinite God, can you imagine the difference? It is like waving a toothpick in battle against a nuclear weapon. Probably a million times bigger and broader would the example be. I don't know how anybody could sit there and think that they're actually going to be able to pull God into their machine. It is really the concept of a biology class in which we took the frogs and we cut them up and we put them under the microscope. You're going to be able to do that with material substance, the substance of creation. But the substance of creation is not God. It is the material universe that God sustains, that God holds up. So I encourage the scientists, take a read, Hebrews chapter 1 concerning creation, or Colossians chapter 1. And you don't have to try to pull God into a machine that you created, designed, controlled, and, microscope a little element of God. As if that will lead you to God. As if that will bring you into relationship to God. Listen, I've just told you earlier on, I'm going to tell you clearly that you can know God, know that you know that you know, that you can interact. We're not talking, listen, God has power, God has force, God has might. I've been overwhelmed by the presence, the energy, the power, the dunamis. That's the Greek word. It's where we get our word dynamite. The spiritual presence of God is like dynamite, an expressed, felt, conscious presence of a person. On the other side of the fence, dark powers and dark energies and the grid, the field. Well, listen, behind all of the experiences and feelings and energies are the entities that have a plot, that have an agenda. And we are about, in human history, to see the largest breaking in of the dark side that has ever been experienced. Revelation chapter 13, my dear friends, gives you a massive, massive look. When John sees, when there is this sight of the pictorial and the dramatic revelation of God, of future, well, of future history. There's going to be a globalist rule coming from, well, about 10 nations. There'll be heads, there'll be leaders, there'll be the concepts of crowns or the idea of diadem. This is the word diadem on the horns, where there this has the idea of the authority and acknowledgement, identity behind the nations that make up the ruling power of globalism, that they are clearly captivating. It's like putting on a crown that was made in hell's factories, forged in the presence and placed on the nations with their political ideology, with their leadership, coming into power. There is now then the sense of a crowning authority. We're going to take a look. Let me take a break here real quick. As we talked about the God particle, and I keep my eyes on this, and I appreciate my friend that sent me the article, because now they're saying, we found it, we found it, we found it. And I'm saying, please, my dear friends, you have not found God. You've not sliced off a portion of his finger, and you will not be able to. God is beyond that singular ability. As a matter of fact, let me read to you a couple things I wrote back to my friend concerning this, because I think it's it is a quest, but again, it has that quest. It makes me think that these massive scientists still do not grasp the attributes of God, that God is literally uncreated, infinite, immaterial, immeasurable. You cannot measure God with a human instrument. There is just no way. So outside of God, all things are finite, including the fallen cherub, as huge as the dragon of Revelation 12 and 13 is. So I get this article, and it just says the Large Hadron Collider has found Higgs boson. The Higgs boson, the idea that they've actually grasped a little piece of God. Well, here's what I wrote back. I said back to this individual, cool, but they have grabbed only another piece of material creation, not a speck of the uncreated creator. Then I write, God is not nervous either. Then I write again, for something really spectacular, look at Christ. And I send the word of God. Out of the book of Corinthians, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. Going on to the second chapter, 1 Corinthians. Listen now, here's what it says. Quote, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. Now I emphasize verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. You cannot make theology based on projections of human concept. It has to be coming down out of God. That's what Revelation is. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. Coming down out of God, out of the infinite God. God revealing God, God revealing his name, his person, his presence, his character, his attributes, his works. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed it to us by a spirit. The spirit, God, infinite God, searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now, I write that only because I love science. I love delving into theoretical concepts that are out there. I love listening to people talk. I love hearing it. But there is also, behind it all, what in the Greek New Testament, aletheia, truth, reality. And this is what God has done in unveiling himself in Christ. So when you read John's Gospel chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, Logos. The word was is in the imperfect, meaning always has been with no beginning, no end. So in the beginning, has always been, always was, and is the Word, Logos. The reason for all that exists, the element that's behind everything in existence, is there. And the Word was, imperfect tense again, always has been, always will be, with God. Pros means face-to-face in a total equality and personal relationship. We're talking about God the Father, God the Son, the concept of the triune God. We're talking about the immensity of God here. So that the emphasis in chapter 1 of John's Gospel is what people have understood as far as what's behind the material universe is now making himself known to the point that the Word, which was always, is always with God the Father, is God, and then manifests here in human flesh for a while. The Word became flesh. And I would think that a theoretical physicist, a scientist, I would think that a poet, that a musician, that the concept of infinite, immeasurable, indestructible, eternal God coming into human flesh, walking among us. See, if you really want to see God, know God, know what God is like, then look at Christ. Eventually, well, one time even the Greek syntax was broken when Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said, don't you know me? I and the Father, we are one and the same. Thomas finally knelt down and cried out, my Lord, capital G now, and my God. And I cannot help but to tell you about the immensity of God in the midst of dealing with the revelation that God gives in chapter 13, because of a revelation of the satanic presence and power, its full force, its immensity in a finite way, in comparison to the world, the manifest presence of the dark side when the day arrives for the new order to ascend, to rise into power, will manifest as never before in history, will be huge as God says it will be enormous as God says it will come with a speed, with a devouring, powerful, crushing ability, and with a voice of an ancient hate that is so strong, so immense, that I think Hitler's speeches would have been like a chihuahua yapping in comparison. For all those new coming in listening, I want to say that we have seen a rise in the listenership, and we're very grateful that if you want to get to know me, go to shatterthedarkness.net on the website. Take your time, a lot of stuff there. Hundreds of free MP3 downloads. There's a course called, for believers in Christ, a course, anybody can download it, Confronting the Powers, good training course for these days. Another one called Supernatural Apologetics, great course to download and use. These are the same kind of courses I would teach in a college setting. Also, the new series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, we just today put up session number 8. Now there are 9 hours. We're going to go all the way to 16. Session number 8 is entitled, let me see here, I'm going to go back to session 8, and it is entitled Finding the Sites, Locations, and Hidden Places Where Covens Meet, Dark Powers Are Raised. This is the place of the rituals and the high places, and why we should even be concerned about it. So there's a 1 hour, brand new today, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers session put up. I want you to know that we're coming to Las Vegas, Nevada, August 27th, 28th. We're going to be there with Lynn Marzulli, with Connie Huft, with Andrew Hoffman, with Minister Dante Forsten. And we are going to be doing 2 days of conference materials, I believe cutting-edge materials that is absolutely vital to give the heads up, give the cutting edge. And I plan on going there to unleash as much personal ministry as I can also. So you can go to shatterthedarkness.net, and you can see in our little display there that changes, the little flash that changes. You will see eventually the conference, the 27th, 28th of August. Just click on that, and you'll get their webpage. We've also been told that the conference coming up in Canton, Ohio is October 1st and 2nd. Tom Dunn is leading the way on that. Another national conference, all book authors going to be there. We're going to, as soon as we get the details, we'll give that to you. And I've been just notified last night, I think it was late, maybe this morning it came in. Yeah, I think this morning was when I actually read it. The West Coast Conference on the Paranormal in Orange County, California, they're now saying it's going to be October the 9th. So if you can't make it to Las Vegas, California, October the 9th, right there in that area. And we'll give the details as soon as they give it to us. Don't forget, again, the other MP3s and course materials that we have put out there and we're offering. Let me mention also, thank you to those who brought support. Without any commercials or commercial products, we simply invite you to invest in the total work that's being done. If you are interested in and have been benefited by this project, then you can go to our website, shatterthedarkness.net, and look down where it says, you can help this work, or the support tab. Take a read. And we invite you, and we do need you, and thank you for your great kindness. In a moment, I am going to read pages 41, part of page 41, part of page 42, out of the book called The Black Awakening, The Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers. Now, I want you to understand that this introduction was written about 3 years ago. I was in California sitting with my mother for 21 days. She had fallen, was in the nursing home. They thought she was going to die. So hour after hour, as I sat there and allowed her to sleep, working on this material, I wrote the introduction to the book called A Prophetic Future. It begins on page 14 in the book, and I want you to realize that years ago what I did here, after all of my research, all the interactions, all the stuff we've dealt with for 25 years, when we talk about the coming hell on earth, chaos, anarchy before the new order, from my experience and my background, I wrote what I believe was kind of how I see it happening when the chaos breaks out. Now, after I go through many pages of explaining day after day after day, experiencing the actual chaos, well, that hasn't broke out yet, but it's coming very soon. On page 41, I begin with what I call the seventh day. So I'm kind of giving a report of the future and how I see part of it, at least, breaking down. When the chaos that brings death to many, collapses nations, brings a collapse of the infrastructure, of the electrical grid, the food chain, when there is an unleashing of killing, and maybe millions will die, when the United States and Europe and England and all these places collapse, when sabotage is done, bombs go off, chemical weapons are dispersed, and there is, well, so many things to it, I finally come to the last day of it. And here's what I wrote. I'm quoting now from the book, and I want you to hear because I think it's vital for what's happening right now. After the chaos begins to die down, quote, gone were the sirens, the fiery, and the frenzy. It seemed that overnight it was over. Well, at least it seemed that way. There was a weird peace in the midst of the cleanup. We knew it was a mask. The real face of things was still, well, behind the curtain. The U.S. didn't want anyone to know that they were in such a level of deep trouble. Some communications were down. The electrical grids were offline. Many of the national weapon systems were sabotaged and unusable for the moment. The U.S. was weak, like an injured body that just came from a wreck. We were in need of repair and healing. The U.S. was not ready for a global war. This vulnerability was just what the Dark Ones wanted. The chaos was released only to cause a collapse, a catastrophic collapse indeed. They didn't want to destroy the United States. Like Hitler himself, they had plans for us too. They just wanted to incapacitate the U.S. They wanted us helpless and paralyzed, like a snake that paralyzes its victim before it is eaten alive. They didn't want this old superpower to dare intervene with the new alliance that formed in Europe. This new order of nations came together so fast, no one knew how. It must have been planned. It had to have had deep secrets all along. Talk about a shadow government. Those who were coming to power and rule now had been waiting in the shadows all along. They were the self-proclaimed elitists that so many had written about. Money, power, self-exaltation. They are so twisted. The ancient plan was moving forward, actually blazing ahead. The USA was down and unable to muscle its way into that old but new European scene. Those who unleashed the satanic chosen ones, those real Luciferians, were old Illumists. They were ready to unleash the next phase. Those same leaders would bring their man to the forefront. Soon, a voice like none in world history would be heard. It would be the voice of an ancient hate, a voice that the angels heard long ago, up in the heavenlies, and long before it reached here. End of quote, page 43. I bring it in tonight because, did you read it? Verse 1, again, a revelation of God, infallible, irrevocable, and absolutely accurate. It really helps fill in some of the well, adds to the revelation what has been given in the book of Daniel about the little horn, his rise to power, about this fierce individual. And no matter how fierce Antichrist will be, please understand that without the regime, world conquest could not happen. I want you to understand that the goal of world conquest has been operative just beneath the surface of societal waters. Just beneath the surface of the waters of politics, of the waters of the military, of the rivers of the economic streams. When you read Revelation 13:1, at the end of 12, the dragon stood there again, ready to pounce. The presence, the power, the full absolute force, almost a counterfeit to God the Father. Invisible but felt, invisible but there, invisible but, as God says in Revelation 12, huge, megas, drakon. And that is the description of the full absolute force of hell manifesting, unleashing its full presence, full power, full activity to complete its known agenda. Here's what it goes on to say. John now, guided by God, unlike Nostradamus, unlike Edgar Cayce, unlike dear remote viewers, unlike you, this strictly is of God. And he saw a Theron. He saw a beast, listen now, coming up out of the sea. I'm going to tell you that right now, when it comes to the Antichrist, he is inseparable from the regime. If the Antichrist is alive out there, but not yet visible to the public, not yet unleashed in an apocalypse to the world, please understand, the regime in no way has reared its public, political, economic, military system. The beast and his regime, and I believe this is a reference to both him and the system. This, my friends, is the system, multinational, with individual leaders. If the Antichrist is already out there, if the false prophet is already out there, the regime is already in place, political, military, the powers of hell, the 10 horns and the 7 heads. And guess what? It will rise. Listen, even if you've looked at the European Union, even if you've looked at the United Nations, even if you've looked at globalism being spoken by the Prime Minister of England, being spoken by European leaders, even, George Bush and Obama and others, whether wittings or unwittings, anybody grasping the elemental revelation of globalism is just being seduced, just being grabbed. But in no way does the globalism we read about, globalism we see emerging, in any way yet show the real force, the real face, the real power, the real individuals. Globalism, right now, is in the shadows. Globalism, when I say globalism, Luciferic, conceived, inspired, empowered, guided, led, the fiercest political, economic, military system in human history is in the shadows. just beneath the surface of the deep. Oh, so many people are getting wind of it. So many people are feeling the ominous presence that is there, out there. You're sensing it. You're feeling it. Believers everywhere, all over the world, that have the Spirit of God in them, they feel the warning. Here are the words that match the concern clearly. Let me read it again. Revelation 13:1, I stood upon, listen, I saw the beast rise up out, up out of the sea. Now, there's a number of times the idea of sea in Scripture is a reference to the sea of humanity. The idea of the Antichrist's regime that is bigger than the United States, bigger than Europe, that is already connected. See, when it rises to power, visibly, physically in the world, you've got to understand something. It was already in place. It was already there. Yes, they're trying to influence the world in a public way, trying to educate the world spiritually through the ideology of globalism, in the economics, in the environmental, in the counterfeit spiritual, without question infused into the politics. It's as though the heartbeat, the pulse of what's underneath the surface of the deep is felt, is sensed for believers in Christ, in whom the Spirit of God dwells. You know what it is? We know that that the radical, the broadest, the unprecedented manifestation in political, military, economic, a system is coming. If you've read and listened in the last number of weeks, you know that prophecy in Scripture here tells us that when the system, the Antichrist system, the beast system, with the beast as the ruler, of course, when it does ascend, and that's what this Greek word is here, the word rises out of the sea. I mean, go take a look. It's the idea of ascendancy. There's an ascension from the shadows, from the hidden places. Please understand, the network for satanic antichrist globalism, politically, on a military scale, economic scale, is already linked, already there. A sequence of events have to occur. The issue of the four horses that we dealt with a couple of weeks ago, it's on our website. You can get all four, the white, the red, the black, the pale. That is God giving in pictorial, dramatic fashion, a communication of the events that level, that listen, that level the counterfeit spirituality on a conquest, the spirit of Antichrist in his presence, number one. The unbridled chaos worldwide that brings the death of millions and the collapse of nations. The black horse and the collapse of the food chain, the economic, oil and just a few things being fought over, so precious, a day's way. The scarcity, the absolute scarcity, the black horse event brings to us, right? It's like when Katrina was hit. After it was hit and the winds died down and went away, there was massive scarcity. People were standing on buildings. They hadn't had water for a day or two. They hadn't had food for 3 or 4 or 5 days. You know what went on in that enormous situation, but in comparison to a global strike, what's to come is so unbelievable, so broad, so wide. Time of the Pell Horse, well, a fourth of humanity may be dead. In the midst of all of this, the clamoring of save the world. Well, guess what happens? God is revealing in Revelation 13:1 that John sees a beast rise, ascend up out of the sea. Now, notice again, the beast is inseparably connected to the regime. The beast having seven heads and ten horns. It's speaking about political leaders and the nations. They're going to talk about crowns, or literally the word diadem. Diadem that are on these heads. Designating the specific authority. Specifically, they are marked. They have this. And they have the name of blasphemies. Globalism is going to be seen in some ways as a divine institution. Globalism is going to be seen by many when the spiritual wave of the chaos breaks out, when the broadest manifestation of counterfeit spirituality strikes. New Agers, with the precursors of all of the counterfeit spirits, are going to believe, wow, humanity has just had an evolution to a new consciousness. Homo lumos, homo deity. Really? With it comes the rise of these nations that will solidify the control of the world. Their self-deification beyond old Rome, the emperor worship, the individual emperor being God, the state being divine. This is so beyond that. There will never be a broader, deeper manifestation of the full force of all of hell than when the beast, connected inseparably from the entire regime, multinational, multiple leaders. The concept of clear, temporary, though, given authority, self-exaltation. It's about their own self-exaltation. And the blasphemy involves their claim to a sense of divine origin and an affront, as you'll see in this context, to God's presence. Oh, not only, if you look at verse 2, the beast he saw resembled, listen now, a leopard. That's going to bring reference to the incredible speed in which out of the shadows it comes into power. See, we're not going to see a small, little by little, voted in globalism. It's not going to occur over a 10, 20 year period. That's the reason for the massive collapse, to just level everybody, level all the nations, level the governments, level the militaries, level everything, and then an ascension out of the sea of humanity. That which is right now in the satanic secret power, the secrecy, hidden, laced into the nations right now, laced into the politics right now. The individuals are there. The leadership is there. And the self-crowning and ultimate, well, declaration, this new regime, as it unleashes itself, ascends. This dark regime ascends. It'll resemble a leopard with incredible speed. It had the feet of, like those of a bear, this incredible power to devour and crush anything. It all corresponds to Daniel, what God said 2,600 years ago. And a mouth that is like that of a lion. Roaring. I mean, it's going to be loud. It's the voice of an ancient hate. Oh, there's going to be a lot of individuals speaking out of these politicians and leaders and military leaders. It will be an inseparable connection between political and military leadership. That's why Psalm chapter 2 gives reference to the peoples, the nations, but the kings of the earth. They'll be involved in this 10 horns, 7 heads, self-crowning diadems or deification of themselves. That's what the Luciferic doctrine is, an evolution to divinity that was first spoken about in Genesis 3. The doctrine, Luciferic doctrine, has not changed. It has been received by millions of New Agers, embraced deeply by underground Luciferians. 2012ers are now joining the ranks because the ancient dark powers of the old bloodthirsty Mayans, who gave demonic-inspired prophecies, being disseminated to the world, now infecting an expectation in the world. Did you realize the demonic prophecies of the Mayans are now shaping consensus, shaping expectations, just like they planned? The mouth of a lion, a voice of an ancient hate. The angels in the heavens in the great insurrection heard this. Can you imagine again? The Antichrist is a genetic crossbreed of Satan himself and a human female. He's a hybrid. He's the ultimate Nephilim in a sense. But I want you to see in verse 2, the dragon, remember how God paints the picture? The behind-the-scenes, ominous, but manifest power. The dragon gave the beast, referring to the Antichrist and the system and the nations and the globalism, gave the beast his power. Greek word, dunamis. Same word used of believers receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. That side must have dark dunamis, power, expressed, felt, manifested power. Well, the dragon gives the beast, regime and person, the power. Gives him the throne, the locality of rule, and great, megalon, from the word megas, and great authority. Now we're going to see tomorrow the extent of the beast and the beast system. Inseparable, already out there most likely, coming down the road. Christ alone, deliverer, savior, he will crush this regime in the end. My friends, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Good night, God bless.